WH Mobile. W8FU.
W8FU, this is KE8RUH. What's going on this morning, Sean?
Looks like I'm having trouble with the UMP and the GMRS machine. I didn't hear that. Just heard bursts of static.
Yeah, they're doubling somehow.
Yeah, so what's going on is the UMP machine is linked to the 2.6, and its antenna is, like, you know, right next to the Macomb 675 antenna. And normally when the Macomb 675 is in PL, it's no harm, no foul. But for some reason, I haven't troubleshot it, so I really don't know why. It just falls out of PL. It just falls to carrier squelch every now and again. And I can't just reset it, just go cycle through the settings and, put it back on PL. I have to literally unplug and plug the radio, the repeater back in, and then it comes back up in PL. So I don't know why it's doing that, but every now and again it does. So whenever you are jibber-jabbering on the 2.6 and you're hearing blasting coming over on the Macomb 675, that's what it is.
Wonderful. Does that mean that you're up and at them early to go unplug and plug that thing back in?
No. Normally I have a PDU in there, and we just, log into it, power cycle the repeater. And, I used to have to make a trip there, a year ago. But we put it on a PDU outlet so we could get to it from the web. But that got fried in the last lightning storm. So yes, I'm going to have to run up there and do that. But I think before I go, I'm going to see if we have any other PDUs laying around or whatnot. Put that on your radar, PDUs.
It's funny because it was just going through my mind, like, oh, crap, do I have any PDUs that I could give him? But I don't think I do. I'll look around the shop and see if I have anything.
I bet it was, yeah. We have PDUs for pretty much, Central Michigan Emergency Network. Theirs is the one that went. And then I have one that I got for the microwave project. That one's fine. The problem is, I don't want a repeater on the UPS, just the just the computers and networking stuff. And so I was on Central Michigan's PDU because they didn't have a UPS. It was just a PDU, so I wouldn't be using a repeater, wouldn't be sucking the batteries down. And I don't want to plug it into the one that I have for the network and stuff like that, because it's just, the repeater draws too much power. So, I don't know, maybe put something else in there. We've got some network switches that we've got to deploy. If I got one of those deployed and configured, I could, put an end to it all. I don't even have to have this stupid thing plugged into anything. I just, dial up a function on that network switch and it's an I/O device. It's got inputs and outputs, and it's all networkable. So, I know we've got plans. It's just lazy.
Yeah, if as you're going through getting equipment like network switches and stuff like that, let me know what you're looking for. Sometimes I can find that stuff on the on the used market. It'll be significantly less expensive than buying something brand new. Can't always find stuff, but I've had luck in the past.
Right, and I know the nature of your business, so this is probably a big no. But any chance or you ever see any microwave equipment you know, dishes, radio dishes and stuff, because there's a particular one we use that's no longer being produced, and some sector antennas and stuff, and we've been having a hard time locating them. Yeah, I mean, we'll just have to transition to a different, you know, make, model, or manufacturer. That's, you know, that's just the reality. But you know, we could find a cache of the ones we're using. That would be sweet. I know it's a real long shot, even if you see stuff like that.
You know, sometimes we do, just like sometimes we see radio equipment. In the past, I would have known nothing about it, but knowing you're looking, I can keep an eye out. Like you said, it's extremely low probability, but if you know the make and model of what you're looking for, shoot it over to me, and I can keep an eye out, or I can, specifically go out and look for them in the secondary market. There's some trade websites that I'm part of and things like that, you know, maybe there's a chance. I don't know, but it's worth a try.
All right, I'll get with Fred. I'll get the specifics, because I leave that to him and them. I pretty much know what the stuff all is and what it does, but when it gets down to the specific makes and models and stuff, I don't pay that close attention. So I'll figure that out, and it might be as simple as if you ever see any ubiquity, equipment, give me a ring, tell me what you see, but I'll get more detailed than that. Anyhow, what's up? I guess on the way to work, right? Kids are at school, so on the way. Yeah, me too. I like to get on the road about 7. Gets me into the shop about 7:30, which is really my official start time. But I don't know. I can start anywhere from 7:30 to 8. You know, my crew doesn't come in till 8. So as long as I'm there before that, I like to get in there about 7:30. Gives me about 15-20 minutes of quiet time to get things laid out and figured out for the day.
Yeah, I'm, like I said last week, I mean, a little earlier start these days. Actually, on days like this, that get an early start and get some nice weather, I often, and I think I'm going to today, I stop at that park behind the Madison Heights Police Office and get a mile or two walking, and then I go into the office just to get myself ready for the day and get some fresh air in the morning, so I'll probably do that this morning. I'm at DeQuinder and almost 12 mile now, so stop there, get 20-30 minute walk in, get the fresh air, get the blood moving, and get after the day after that, I guess. We'll see.
No, that's a good move. That works. I used to get up and do a half mile run in the mornings, but I'm not disciplined enough, but right there at 13 in DeQuinter, if you make a left, the light right by the Myers, right by the water park, if you turn left there again, there's what's called Red Oaks Park, and that's a real nice place to jog, walk, or run, or even bike, but it's a real wooded kind of trail, so if you ever want a little change, with half mile from where you normally go. The only problem is I don't know if you can park there if you're not a resident.
I totally forgot about that place. I will have to one day check it out. Maybe I'll drive over there on lunch or something and see if I can get in and get the lay of the land and stop there. I totally forgot about that place.
Yeah, it's a nice one. I like it. They've got, the northern loop, the southern loop, and there's actually two loops to the south, or there's like a couple of lakes, and you can walk as much of it or as little as you want, but it's pretty cool. And I usually work it into my walks or runs at some point, but I live right there, so not a big deal. There is a school on the south end of it, right off the half mile, which would be common on our side, but it's Mulan on their side. And if you take Mulan to the first street and turn right, there's a school parking lot, and there's an entrance there where you can park without having any kind of, you know, city permit or anything. I don't know how jammed the parking lot would be during the school year and that, but anyhow, just a nice way to go. But I know that one where you're at. And when the weather gets cooler like this, and when it's before the sun comes up, you know, it might be better to be in one that's not so wooded. It's probably a little cold and damp in that wooded one.
Yeah, most likely. I, you know, that one, although it's right next to the high school, it's, you know, that the traffic there can get a little wonky this time in the morning. But it's perfect. It's a measured out 1 mile loop. And I usually just throw my headphones in and walk, figure out where I'm at after I get 1 mile in, and then, you know, either hop back in the car and go to the office or, you know, go for another loop. It's, you know, it's pretty nice. I try to run on the weekends, and I should be running during the week. I used to be a big runner, not so much anymore, unfortunately, but... like you said, it all comes down to discipline, and I'm lacking it at this point, so maybe I'll get back into it and one day put some real miles in and run another marathon or something like that, but right now, it's not in the cards. I just don't have the discipline.
Holy cow, you ran a marathon? Wow, that's amazing. I was doing a lot of running a couple of years ago. But 5K was it for me. I never really did. I mean, sometimes I did a little over, you know, but I would, that was my hard stop. So, I got to the point where I was I could do about a 30-minute 5K, which is, you know, no great shape, but that's as good as I ever got. But for a kid, for a fat kid that never ran, never, and when I tell people that, they think, oh, you didn't like to run. No, I couldn't run. Never ran. In high school, I failed in gym class. Everyone had to run a mile, and I think it was something ridiculous, like 15 minutes or something like that, and I just couldn't do it. And I couldn't run this. If I was, you know, if a lion was chasing the group, it's like, you know, I'll save you. Everybody run, you know, because I just couldn't do it. And I don't know if I told you this story or not, but a few years back, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago, I went to this New Balance store, and they had this thing called Good Form Running. Let me get a sec. And, you know, I had good shoes. I had good equipment and everything like that. The guy had me run in the parking lot, and he was filming me. And then he took it inside and put it on the computer and look at me, analyze it. He came back out. He goes, yeah. He goes, well, I know why you can't run. And he says, why? He goes, because you're doing it wrong. And I said, what do you mean I'm doing it wrong? And he kind of showed me what I was doing, and he said, here's what I want you to do. He goes, I just want you to do this, this, and this. And he goes, and don't try to, you know, kill yourself or anything like that. I went to the gym. It was a treadmill, but I went to the gym on a treadmill the next day, and I figured, I'm going to try what he told me. Got under. I ran a mile in no problem. Just doing the things he told me the day before, and from there I was up to 3 miles, no problem. Just by him telling me what I was doing wrong, I'm so mad now because I enjoyed it so much. I'm so mad now that, you know, the gym teacher, who was so hard ass about everybody running a mile, didn't take the time to teach the kids how to do it right.
Yep, that's usually what happens. You get a little bit of good instruction and somebody that knows what they're doing. You can point out what you're doing wrong real quick, and then everything gets super easy.
Yeah, who knows how much running I would have got in, but, you know, but it does pound you a little bit. You know, when you get to my age, that's a consideration. I broke my ribs. I was going to start mixing it up a little bit, you know, running and then maybe some biking, you know, on like, you know, every other day. Or, you know, every other time, because I was mixing up strength training with running, and I figured, well, maybe I would, you know, not run every time, and I would do some biking for a little bit less, you know, still keep the aerobic part of it in there, but, you know, take the beating off the legs, and I really got into biking heavy, and, you know, that was, I took to that like a duck to water. And, of course, it wasn't, you know, hard on my limbs or anything, but I couldn't, I found that because I couldn't, you know, I had to give myself a little break from the running because I was running like every day and it was really pounding on my legs and my knees and stuff. The first day out on the bike, I got hit by an SUV, broke three of my ribs, totaled the bike. And on my maiden voyage, it wasn't a mile from home on a freshly refurbished Trek 950 that I had for years. Didn't get a mile from home and I got ran over by an SUV. But the ironic thing was, is the only thing I could do, hold on. With them broken ribs, the only thing I could do was ride a bike. I certainly couldn't run or walk. That was just painful, you know, every time the foot came down with the ribs. I could barely sleep. I had trouble, you know, sitting, standing, everything. But it seemed like when I got in that three-point position on the bike, it took the pressure or something off my ribs, and I could do that. Like getting on and off was a bear, and God help me if I had to stop fast or if I fell. But as long as I, you know, took my time getting on and getting off, man, I could go forever on the bike, and I felt better than anything. And I learned to bike a lot when I had them broken ribs.
Oh, I bet you did. Man, I would not want broken ribs. That would definitely cause some problems. Because I haven't had them, but like you said, sweeping everything, every movement you make probably is awful.
Yeah, that was one of the more uncomfortable things I've endured, you know, and it just doesn't go away, you know, like, yeah, I've had more pain for sure. I broke my femur, you know, right up near my hip when I was a kid. That was pain. That was, I don't want to feel that again. But, so I've had much worse pain, but this was really, really bad, and it just wouldn't go away, and you couldn't get away from it. You know, and if you coughed or sneezed or somebody made you laugh, it was like torture. Man, broken ribs just suck. And there's nothing they can do. You know, it's just, you just got to wait for the sons of guns to heal. And they used to wrap them. They don't even do that anymore. But, that wasn't fun. But, you know, I got through it, as everybody that's done it before has. I got one of my workers, he's my installer, in fact, and I say that for, you know, because it's going to affect his work, you know, significantly over the next several weeks, but he was in an ATV accident last weekend, and he busted four ribs, and really bad. They like, kind of, like, dislocated. Mine cracked, but they didn't, you know, move, so they were kind of in place. His cracked and, like, shifted and stuff, and he's just in agony right now. He's in the hospital from Saturday till Tuesday. They did some sort of a nerve block on him so he could bear it. Now he's home, but, yeah, he's going to be out for a while. And then when he comes back, it's going to be a while before he can do his job because being an installer, he's got to, you know, lean over in the vehicles and trunks and stuff like that. Man, he's going to be out of commission for a while.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. I can't even imagine. You know, that's the one thing, you know, we all have these hobbies and you got to go to work on Monday, but man, unless he was doing something silly, you know, you never think that you get in an accident quite that bad on an ATV, but it happened. That'd be miserable.
Well, you made a good point there, and that's the, you know, the, you got to think about, you know, I got to go to work. I want a mountain bike, something awful. I've got a gravel bike now, which is basically a 10-speed that can be taken off-road to some degree. And it's an ideal bike for me. You know, it's capable on the road, although a little heavier than the best road bikes, although it's significantly lighter than most road bikes. But if you're looking at high-end road bikes, it's heavier. And it's not as rugged as a good mountain bike, but you know, it's got the big tires and the, you know, a little aggressive tread on them and that. It's a drop bar bike. I don't know, you might be familiar with gravel bikes, but I want a mountain bike. You know, I want the flat bars and the more upright position and something that would be a little bit more inspiring, you know, confidence-inspiring on downhills and stuff. But then I think to myself, you know, at my age, it takes a long time for things to heal. And all I got to do is put my foot down wrong and twist my ankle. And, you know, at my age, you know, things don't just snap back. And I thought, you know, as much as I want that mountain bike, I really ought to just stay away from that. It just ain't a smart move for an old sucker.
Man, I totally know. I have a pretty nice mountain bike, but all it does is ride around the neighborhood anymore with my daughter, and I'm pretty okay with that at this point, because, you know, the last thing I need to do on a Tuesday night is hit a tree, you know, somewhere in the woods on a mountain bike.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We do a lot of these trails, I mean, of course, there's the Macomb Orchard, which is all paved, but we like going on the Pollyann and the Paint Creek and Avoca, things like that. And, you know, those are gravel. Those don't get, you know, bad. The Pollyann can get pretty interesting once you get out of Oakland County, up into Lapeer County. And then sometimes when we're on the on our way to Paint Creek, on the Clinton River, I don't even know what they call it. It's got one, I think it's called the Clinton River when it's past Bloomer to the west, and then it's Paint Creek out of Rochester, and then it's Macomb Orchard east of DeQuinter, but from DeQuinter to Rochester Road, I don't know what it's called there. I think maybe the Clinton River Trail. But we'll take that one, and sometimes we'll jut down in the Bloomer. Now, Bloomer can get kind of technical in some spots, and I've had my gravel bike back in there and some pretty technical stuff, and it does all right. And I wouldn't mind having something more upright, you know, and for that. And, you know, and then, of course, if you get on the river bends, get off the main path, or if you get, you know, west of Stony there off Snell Road, you know, then you could use some suspension and flat bars and all that. But I just got to be careful if I get that, it doesn't get too confidence-inspiring, and I find myself, you know, trying the black trails and, you know, idiot me, you know, 62 years old, and, you know, 63 coming up in a week or whatever. So 63 years old, you know, find stupid me doing some sort of, you know, trail out of my capability range. Nice truck next to me. Holy cow. Looks like about a 69 GMC.
Yeah, it's easy to get overconfident. That's for sure. That's why there's certain things that I just don't do anymore. And one of them is mountain biking. But I still do my fair share of silly things that I probably shouldn't be doing. I don't know. It could be fun for you to get a mountain bike, but at the same time, you're probably better off on the bike that you have and knowing that you don't belong on technical trails.
Yeah, probably, and I can do plenty of single track and stuff on my current bike, so, you know, it keeps me from being too silly. You're sounding a little picket fencey. Did you switch to, are you on foot now with the handheld?
Yeah, I'm on foot. The problem is I am behind, which would be northwest of the hill at that park. So I think that's where my problem is, the hill between me and the repeater. But I'll be coming around the corner in a few minutes here.
Oh, you're fine. I just, like I said, I could tell you jumped, you know, from the mobile to something else. I figured maybe that was it. Well, I'm going to jump in here, the Starbucks, get myself a coffee, see if I can resist the temptation to buy a breakfast thingy. And I'm almost in. I'll let you put the headphones on and get your power walk in. I know it makes a big difference. I've always found talking on the radio when I was biking or walking was annoying.
Yeah, it hasn't been that bad. It was rather enjoyable. I got about a third of the way through my first lap, so it got me through quick. I'll throw the headphones in and keep rolling here, and probably maybe we'll talk this afternoon. KE8RU8, I'll be clear on your final.
All right, Anthony, good work, man. Enjoy that walk. That's what I need to start doing. just pulling in here now. Catch ya. W8 if you...
N8KPP.
K8RUH, mobile.
W8EAP. Hi Ron, and it'll be you. All right, just left your urinologist's office. Got a little bit of running around to do in Lansing, and then home to get some work done.
Yeah, I actually had to do that last
Wednesday. Yeah, a lot of fun, isn't it? I don't know what you're getting done, but mine involves a camera. Yeah, I have to go every 3 months. So, just deal with it.
I don't know if you remember them. Lansing's on 462.575 with 107.2 PL. So all you have to do is remember 462 because it's the same PL as 575 in Danville. And Danville's on 462.600 with I just left it at 100 Hertz PL. I can send you a text later if you want.
Now I'm back in the system. Mountain Valley, by
Galapagos River, just a little more.
Yeah, some strange reason I've never heard of it out. We just can't transmit through piles of dirt. Yeah, life goes on. Yeah, I didn't get that, you know. And part of it's because you're so softly, lightly spoken, you know. You know, same complaint of, you know. Same complaint you heard for the last 30 years, damn it.
Last time I had this radio on thing, I bumped it down because I had some
tape. Yeah, well, hard to make everybody happy, isn't it? Calling up the Cassie and Company, I got to get a couple hydraulic hoses made. I'll throw my call out when I get back out. Maybe it'll be closer. And it'll be you.
Yeah, I'm just turning on Wright Road, north of Paulo. Yeah, good, I can see.
And 8, over your mobile.
NAKPP on the air. NAKPP.
WRVG 374.
CSI.
NHDBF from W8RCY. Dakota, are you on this side of town? Or this side of the radio waves? Yes, I am. How are you? It is Donald, the WRCY guy from the other side of the world. Glad to hear you back on the radio. I tried to reach out to you, I think it was on Friday, but I couldn't get a word in edgewise. But I'm just glad to hear you back on the radio, and I'm now on this side of the world, or on this side of the fence. That's right. In to say hi, and there is a similarity between my two call signs on either side of the frequency band there. This one is now W8RCY, and then the other one is, of course, is WRCY565. Makes it easier for me in my old age, and so on and so forth. But I just wanted to jump in and say hi. Welcome back to the airwaves, and we'll catch up with you sometime this fall.
Hey, man. Did Anthony check out?
K8RUH. Still making the final approach. I'm about 30 seconds out from the driveway.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking, and, God darn it, I heard you guys talking, and, I was in a conference call I couldn't get free of, and I just wanted to let you know that as far as the RPU goes, as long as I can get to them from the internet, as long as they're networkable, that's what I need. So, other than that, I don't really care, but, I wanted to say hi-bye.
Alright, yeah, I'll keep an eye on those when they become available. I'll make sure that they are networkable, and if they are, I will get you some photos, get the information, go from there, see what we can do with them.
Cool. I just wanted to relay that. Okay, I gotta complete this call I hung up on.
Well, talk to you later. K8RUH, please.
Couch with my feet up. So, yep, all in due time, but I'm shopping and I'm looking. So anyway, but just like I said, I just wanted to say welcome back and got my call signs and everything else. So I will let you go home and your evening with your family and so on and so forth. W8RCY, we are clear for now.
But you're in there, so
we should have coverage for the most part all the way home. Radios sound good. So whoever is in charge of the radio repeater you're on is asleep at the wheel, man.
Audio than this one.
the old one finally crapped out after, I don't know how many years. The VCO was getting wonky, so I just swapped it out with another one, but the audio's a little lighter on this. If you remember to speak up.
Yeah, well, I feel comfortable telling you, being in the business, you won't get butt hurt and take it personally. You'll just say, oh, really? I'll fix it. So, anyhow. All right, I just pulled up here at Dick's. I got to run inside. I just ran out to grab something. If you're still in here in about, I don't expect any more in about 10:15. If you're still in here, I'll give you a call. I'll catch you on my route home. W2PUT from W8FU.
Yep, the maps of Google are telling me 42 minutes to the hotel, so yeah, I'll be here. W2PUT.
Okay, the great tennis shoe purchase is complete.
So did you find what you were looking for?
Yeah, I had them in my cart in Amazon. And then I says, I don't know, a search on eBay said something about, you know, check price in cart at Dick's. So I checked the price in cart at Dick's, and they were the exact same price. So I figured, well, what if they got them right here at the Dick's right here? I mean, I could have sat at home and had them tomorrow, or I could go try them on and make absolutely sure they were the right size and all that. And so I went up, and sure enough, they said they had them in stock, and sure enough, they did. And so there you go. But it'll be like my third or fourth pair of Brooks. I know exactly what size I wear with them, so no big mystery there.
Nice. Yeah, when I buy stuff like that, I would far rather buy it in person than online. There's been a couple of times with sneakers that I've bought. You know, they must change which sweatshop they're OEMing them at. And, you know, what size to fit perfectly is even close. In fact, that, yeah, I haven't really gone back and bought any more Reeboks since. Every time you go to get a pair, you know, their sizes were all over the place for the same size.
You know, that's all I used to wear a number of years ago, but that's all I wore was Reeboks. And then something happened in that fit and feel that I got every time I got a nice new pair just wasn't there. And I suffered through a couple of pairs, and they just didn't do it for me. And then I think I just went with, you know, whatever, you know, I just didn't even pay attention to it for a little bit. And then when I got serious about running and stuff, I got serious about it again. And now I like New Balance really well, but, am I screwed? Yeah, I'm screwed. One of those darn crossfire intersections or freeway entrance ramps. I'm forced onto the freeway, which is no big deal. I have to go south anyhow. But I like New Balance really well. I got a pair of those, but Brooks have been my favorite. I haven't tried ASICS yet, and I hear they're really good. But I really do like the Brooks, and so I bought one a little bit more supportive, all black. They're really for work, but I needed a pair of black, you know, sneakers I could get away with, you know, on a day-to-day basis. My New Balance runners are white with fluorescent orange in them and stuff, and my dad's shoes, my suede blue dad's New Balances are, they're fine, but, you know, we work in that black-on-black environment, so.
I know what you mean. And, you know, that last pair of Reeboks that I had, that was
Actually, that was the last pair of sneakers I bought. That was about 8 years ago. And, finally got one that, you know, after trying on a couple of different sizes, got one that fit, but the quality was just crap. So, honestly, I got a couple of good pairs of work shoes. Well, they're not work shoes, like work boot type thing. I do have a pair of, you know, boots that kind of qualifies as that, but, you know, I've taken to spending a little more money on a good quality shoe, and, you know, outside of the shoes, well, you know me long enough. A lot of times during the summer, you know, I wear the, you know, the topsiders or, you know, boat shoes all summer, and didn't really see the need to get another pair of sneakers. I mean, I'm not a runner. It was in the past year, though, I've stumbled upon Crocs. A lot of people joke about them, but tell you what, man, them things are pretty dang comfortable. I love those things. So that's a lot of what I've been wearing is Crocs.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to do the Croc thing. My work allows me to wear, you know, a decent tennis shoe, but I can't get crazy with the colors and, you know, and things like that. So, you know, if I get a black-on-black tennis shoe or something, then I'm okay. So that's what this is for. And then, you know, and then I've got the loafers in both brown and black for a more, you know, take it up one notch. And then I've got the wingtips for the stuff that's not work-related at all, that don't get hardly pulled out. But, I just needed the regular bounce-around stuff, so. I've also got a set of, like, hiking boots, you know, the brown suede with the Vibram soles, you know, that. And they're very, they're almost like a tennis shoe, but they look just like, you know, a typical hiking boot. But they feel like, and they you know, just like a little bit heavy tennis shoe. Those are pretty good, too, when the weather starts turning cool, but, hey, whatever. Yeah, I don't mess around. I buy the best, you know. So that's why, like I said, Brooks, New Balance, stuff like that. I don't mess around anymore with junk. I either just go through them too darn fast, and you know, I could have, you know, three pairs of those, and you know, or one pair of Brooks. You know, so there's that. And last pair of Brooks I had, the Ghosts. They were gray. I could have wore those for work, but they were, you know, they were a little flamboyant, but. I had pounded a lot of miles with those running, and before they gave out. And actually, the soles were okay, but I ripped the side of them because I'm kind of a funky gait. Another reason I spent a little money on my shoes. So this is a new one. This is the a support version of their shoes. They're a little bit heavier and cushier than the ones I typically get, but I haven't been running as much lately, so I'm not going to worry too much about carrying around some extra ounces. I got pounds to worry about up in my gut, and hardly be worrying about ounces in my shoes.
I feel you, brother. Now that I'm not in the field anymore, it's definitely a little more challenging to not pack the pounds on. Wow, 293, and, Menominee here for fuel. Holy smokes. But you know, for a long time I was wearing those, what was it, Nunn Bush? Those brown shoes, I think we compared them once in your office. Used to get those at Kohl's. And, the last couple pairs of those, the soles, fell apart, you know, way earlier than they should have. And after that, it was just kind of all right, I'm not buying these anymore. They've clearly cheapened the quality on them. So wound up with a pair of Clarks. Oh man, those things were great. I was going to get another pair of them, but I just couldn't find the same ones. You know, easily available, you know, locally. So I don't remember what the brand name of the ones I got now, but you know, they're another another higher dollar shoe. And they're certainly worth it. W8FU, W2PUT Mobile.
You know, I got some of those Nunn & Bush. They are a more affordable, you know, shoe in that. You know, that's, and I gotta admit, when it comes to the really, you know, my dress shoes and all that stuff, it's funny because that's where I skimp a little. Because those can get really expensive really fast. And so I just go to, like, Detroit, you know, Designer Shoe Warehouse or whatever it is, DSW or what, and I find something that looks good. Because I'm going to wear them, you know, like I wear them when I go to Interop and things like that, you know, in certain meetings and certain, you know, places where I got to put a jacket on. So, you know, I wear them a couple, three, four times a year, so I don't really need the quality, but the tennis shoes are 24/7, you know, 365 sometimes. I got to wear them, you know. So, you know, those get a lot of pounding.
Yep. What is this building here? It's got a tower and stuff on it. It looks like an official building. Oh, the VA. Well, I guess it is officially the VA, huh? Okay, this road does curve up here. I was through here once before a few years ago. I went to Schaumburg from Aquiac, and I opted to go the up north route rather than the southerly route. I can't remember this here. But yeah, since I don't work the field anymore, My dress shoes are kind of like my, well, if I have to go to meetings or something like that, you know, or just general wear, I've got a, you know, fairly comfortable, you know, nicer set there. Yeah, they'll last me for some time, especially now they've learned about Crocs. I've always joked about them. Until it as a joke, I saw them. I got a pair of Count Chocula Crocs, and that really was meant to be a joke. I wore them a couple of times. I'm like, holy crap! Why have I not tried these before? So I wound up with a black pair. Those are my ERCs, the emergency response Crocs. Those are great for going to calls when you got to put your turnout gear on, man. You can kick those babies off real easy.
Oh yeah, I bet that. Yep. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll never say never, but I can't really see them in the cards for me. So who knows? But anywho, all right. I just arrived back home here. I'm gonna jump inside and start thinking about dinner. They switched me. They put me on this new drug for my diabetes. I got that type 2, and yeah, I control it with diet and exercise and a minimal amount of medicine. Just take this metformin, and they put me on this new one, Ozempic. It's an once a week injection, and man, it really curbs your appetite. And you know, so I don't know if it actually does something, or if it just causes you not to eat. So there's nothing to spike your sugar. I really don't know, but I'm gonna have to eat something because I'll find myself in a real pickle if I don't eat a little something. Come you know, 11, 12 o'clock, right about bedtime. Don't want to eat me even then. So have a pasty for me. And, oh, yeah, you were talking about coming across. We did Milwaukee one time back in my club days. And about six of us from the club decided to do this run. And we decided to come to the northern route across the UP back home. And we get pulled over. And by a trooper. I forget where it was. It was outside of Marquette, but we get pulled over and we all were wondering what we did, and you know, we might have been going a little fast on the guy. He goes, no, he goes, I just wanted to look at the bikes. You know, gabbed about the bikes for about 5 minutes and away we went.
Well, that's cool. Kind of sucks getting pulled over, but at the same time, you know, run into somebody like that that's kind of cool about it. All right, what's it going, Sean? He says 5 minutes to the hotel. I'm over the line into Wisconsin. Marinette and Menominee are adjacent cities separated by a state line here. Get a decent hotel, though. I had to go to Marinette. Take care. We'll talk to you later. WTP T-Mobile.
All right, yeah, my theory on that was he actually had something he pulled us over for, but we were all laughing, joking, and all that, and I think he just didn't even bring it up, just said, no, just wanted to see the bike. All right, I'll catch you later. Have fun up there, drive safe, and drop in more often. W2PUT from W8FU.
John, how the hell are you? N8MPK, W2PUT T-Mobile.
I'm running out of string. I don't think I'll be able to hold it. I just thought I'd say hello. Northbound I-25, I don't know where I'm at. 20 north of Flint.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm over in Marinette, Wisconsin, because I get the business in Menominee tomorrow, and then and then it's back to the Akiak. We've spent quite a little bit of time up north. But yeah, you're kind of crunchy there, so you're definitely at the edge of your coverage. Any NPK, W2PUT?
I don't think I have these. I'm not optimized on the antenna, and your audio is low for me. I got the volume all the way up. All right, 7-3, and it is NPK, northbound.
Yeah, I got to tweak up the audio on this thing. Maybe I'll do that when I get parked at the hotel. I forget to do it because, you know, it's the mobile mode, so it doesn't... It's not convenient to just pop in on the laptop and mess with it. I need NPK, W2PUT.
Any supplies on your budget? All right, the other road, and it is NPK.
Sean, you listening out there, W8FU from W2PUT?
W8VPT.